Greet each one this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's a privilege to be with you again. I want to be willing to share the word, but I would have been happy to listen. It was a blessing to be in the Sunday school class, thinking about those timeless lessons that just so real for us today, and I think it really led up to what the Lord laid on my heart for the message this morning. I don't know why I always struggle so much with a title to the message, but everybody seems like they want a title, and came up with a really long and clumsy title. Maybe you can come up with a better one. But if you want a title, it would be Stumbling on the Dark Mountains, Carrying Our Own Torches. Stumbling on the Dark Mountains, Carrying Our Own Torches. And I get this word picture looking at different passages in the Old Testament. We'll look at those in just a minute. But, you know, we don't have mountains around here in Pensacola. But we all love mountains. We love to look at them. But, you know, once you get up in the tops of those mountains, it can get really difficult. And picture yourself leading a group of refugees from fleeing danger from in one valley and going up over these tall mountains, and it gets cold and it gets windy and it gets very dangerous. The trail gets very narrow and the drop-offs are huge, dangerous drop-offs. And of course it can't be done in just few hours, and night overtakes this little group, and dangers all around, and we don't know who might be behind us. We don't know if we're really going to be safe when we get to the other side. And we can't see. What do we do? Well, fortunately, we have this little sticks of what we call fat lighter. I think everybody around here knows what fat lighter is. Lighter wood. So we light these little fires, and each one's carrying our own little fire. And you know, when we used to do that when we were children, it was fun. But when you're up in the top of the mountain and you're fleeing for your life and everything is dangerous, and those lights just don't do much. And the wind can snuff it out and you can fall down in this huge cliff on the rocks to certain death. Those lights just don't do much. Let's look in Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13, verse 16, talks about stumbling on the dark mountains. Give glory to the Lord your God before he cause darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turneth it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. And then over in Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, and that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. This word that's translated sparks can also be translated firebrand. It can also be translated chains. I'm not sure what the connection is, but gives us the picture of carrying little torches that in God's eyes look like sparks. And what is this little torch going to do in all this darkness? How much better it is to walk in broad daylight. And when you can see, when you know what the danger is and you know what to do. How many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that this word picture describes our life, the situation of our life. And I had to wonder, had to think, what do we think we're fleeing from? And where do we think we're going? And what really is the light that we're supposed to walk in? You know, when God created this world, He started with nothing and He made everything. He took complete darkness and He replaced it with light. You see, God moves from darkness to light. He says, specifically says six times, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning, and the evening and the morning, God starts in the evening, in the night, and He moves towards the light. Why do you need to know that? What difference does it make? I always often wondered about that. Why is it important? And we see God moving from chaos to order. Because God spoke. And then He rested. And then it was man's turn. Seems like God is saying, Adam, now I want you to join me in this creation experience. Get involved. Here's the animals. Tell all the animals who they are and what they're going to become. Name them. Well, how am I going to name the animals? What do I know? Name the animals. Give some direction to this chaos. And so Adam spoke. He joined in with the potential of an exciting new world. And so God invites you and invites me, get involved. But how? But what? What if I do it wrong? What if I give them the wrong name? But we have no choice. We're fleeing. So a little bit later, Adam forgot who he was. He forgot that he was responsible. He refused to get involved. He lost his tongue. He didn't stand up to the serpent. He didn't give direction to his wife. He just stood there and he said nothing. And he moved from light to darkness. He moved from order to chaos because he refused to get involved. And so today, we think our day begins with the light, and we go to darkness, to the night. We tend to think opposite of God, don't we? I like to think of those three points. What are we running from? What are we running from? Maybe we should ask the question, what are we reacting to? You know, since we are created in the image of God, we have the capacity to think, we have the capacity to feel, we have the capacity to reason, we have the capacity to envision what we want, where we want to be, how we can get it, and how we can get there. We can react to the pain. I don't like this, so I choose this. I want that, I don't have it, so I can go there, I can get it. We react to pain, we run away from it. We feel pleasure that we want, and we go towards it. Even though so many times we don't understand what we're doing, we don't consciously think about it. Sometimes we do. Sometimes it gets really complicated. I think Absalom thought about it when he told his servant, go set Joab's barley field on fire. He knew that he would get a reaction. He knew that Joab would come running. But so many times a little child doesn't understand when he's just being plain annoysome, bothersome, making those funny noises and doing those stupid things. He doesn't understand. What he's really doing, he's crying out for attention. He wants his daddy to notice him. And so we move towards, we think, we reason, and we don't even understand what we're doing. We don't stop and think about it. But we see it all around. We see people making these reactions and these choices. The young man was refused a loan at the bank. And so he walked out of that bank and he said, someday I'm going to own this place. He made choices. He set his heart on getting rich. I don't want this poverty. It hurts. I'm going to make money. Sometimes I get it. Maybe we grow up feeling rejected. So we set out to prove that we're right. Or maybe they feel like they didn't get what they deserved in life. So they try to use others. So jealousy, hatred, unforgiving attitude, selfishness, pride, etc., etc. We play all these little games. These are all carnal, natural tendencies in each one of us. And we use these things to react to the hurts and the needs, be they real or perceived, in this sinful world, we run, we react. So the second point, where do we think we're going? If we're running, where are we going? So we constantly look for the answers to our questions. We're constantly looking for something to ease our pain. We're looking for something to fill the void, something to satisfy our thirst. And so people self-medicate. It's a fancy word they term, they use it. I think the more accurate word is they turn to vices. It feels good. It helps me forget. If I can't get the real thing, at least I can fantasize. So we do these so many games and these so many complicated things, and they seem unrelated, but really it's all very simple. We're lighting our own fires. We're looking for our own torches. So we say something unkind about somebody, trying to get even. And we feel smug when somebody that hurt us gets into trouble themselves, and we forget to pray. We close our hearts to someone who wants to get close to us. They really want to help us. But because we're busy building walls around ourselves and our own little island, and we forget to build bridges instead. We're just trying to protect ourselves. We don't want to get hurt anymore. But those walls just shut us in. So we carry these little torches of fat lighter wood, and we stumble along the dark mountains, insisting that we will make it. We will find happiness. We will find satisfaction our way. The last part of verse 11 is Isaiah 50, verse 11. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. And so the old man, yes, he got wealthy. He fled from his poverty. He found money. But he's slowly, desperately grasping for his last breath. If I only could have done that last deal, I would have made more. He closes his eyes and he leaves it all behind. You can apply that to anything. Not just money. Let's look at the last point. I want to spend most of our time here. God is inviting us to walk in His light. We don't have to stumble on these dark mountains, vainly trying to figure out how to get there. No, we can walk in the light of day in the beautiful sunlight where we can see. The last point I'd like to say is walk in His light. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's read verses 6 to 11. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Takes us all the way back to creation. God, who spoke in this world of darkness and shone the light. He is shining in our hearts through Jesus Christ. And so, he wants us to learn to pray. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to be honest with him about how we're feeling. We need to learn to ask him to show us all these strange little games that we're playing in our own thoughts, and we're not thinking about it. We need to be quiet before him and listen as he slowly helps us to understand our wrong attitudes, where we're wrong, where we're thinking wrong. And so we need to learn to talk to him about these things, because self-medication is not the answer, but prayer is. Somehow when we learn to talk to him about it, and we get up from our knees, it's all right. Again and again and again and again. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask the Lord for it. With the disciples, say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he'll show you. He loves to show us how to pray. If you know what I'm talking about, ask him to help you grow in that. I feel like I'm in kindergarten, and I like to go to first grade, maybe. And I'd like us to go together and learn how to pray. Walk in his light, not in our own little torches that'll soon be blown out. I have 10 points here, and the second one is learn to wait on him. You know, we're up in the top of this dark mountain, and we're vainly struggling to find our path, and we're trying to keep our little light lit, and we don't know if the next step we're going to plunge to the depths below on the rocks and be hurled to our death. We don't know what's going to happen, but we feel like we just have to take another step. We have to make that decision. Maybe we're supposed to wait. You know, it can't be more than 12 hours, maybe 14, 16, depending on where you are in the wintertime. But the sun is going to come up and it will get light again. And so we need to learn to wait. Be patient. need to learn to wait, because we made the right decision, we prayed about it, we thought about it, we found scripture, we made that right decision, and it still went wrong. We still suffered. Now what? Well, we need to remember that's not the end of the story. Yeah, yes, I made that decision. I knew God told me to do it. And here I am, I'm suffering. But God still is not finished. And I don't have to prove my innocence. I don't have to prove that I was right. I have so much to learn. Even in this right decision, I can be wrong. And I need to learn. And so as we walk in His light, we need to... The third point is embrace the pain. Embrace the pain. Don't react to it. Here in 2 Corinthians, where we just read, we would just like to just step out of all this darkness and just go sailing right into heaven. But no, we're troubled on every side. We're persecuted. We're bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. It's just going wrong. This life is just difficult. Over there in Isaiah 50, where we started, I'd just like to read some verses before this. I wish we could just go back and read several chapters, because what God is telling them over and over, I'm wanting to deal with your life. I'm wanting you to learn to trust me, to obey me. And you're making wrong decisions. And because you're making these wrong decisions, you're suffering. Here's the example of Jesus. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. How did Jesus do it? How did he go to the cross? How did he do it? Well, he embraced that pain. He didn't run from it. He knew that that was the way out. And so that's what we need to do. Philippians 3:10 tells us that we fellowship with him in his sufferings. And so we bow our heart to the criticism, and we see that story in 2 Samuel 16 where Shimei cursed David as he was running. We bow our hearts to that and we accept it. David said, let him curse me. God said, curse him. It may be that God will turn it around somehow. And the fourth point, we need to find the freedom of forgiveness. Now, why is forgiveness so hard? Why is it so hard to forgive? It's such a wonderful thing. It brings freedom. It turns you loose when you hold on to that grudge. That's a chain. It makes you suffer. But when you cut it loose, you forgive, it's such a blessing. And why do we struggle with that so much? You could explain that to me. Maybe we could quit it. Forgiveness is the key to being free. And the point number 5 of walking in His light, experience the blessing of walking in humility. James 4:6, I'd like to read that verse. It's a very familiar verse, and yet it bears reading again and again. James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So in our pride, we refuse to let anybody get close. We don't want to show how we really feel. We don't want to show our own vulnerability. We build those walls around us. We're cutting ourselves off from God's blessing. And God is going to come against us if we choose to live in pride. God is going to have to bring us down and bring us down. And why do we struggle with that pride so much? Maybe I'll just reveal myself a little bit here. But you know how it is. We wouldn't say it. But, well, I'm better than him and because this. And I'm better than that person because of this and this and this. You know, we do it in our own little mind. And you know, it is such a blessing. It can hurt. But it's such a blessing to realize, to really, really understand that that person is far superior to me. He has so much to teach me. And we walk away amazed. How could have I ever felt that? I have so much to learn. Point number 6, walking in His light, then we can move with purpose. What is the purpose for your life? Why are you living? What makes you get up? What is your drive? Yeah, we have to make more money to pay the bills. What's behind all of it? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is that your testimony? The reason I'm living is because I died with Christ and I'm resurrected to a new life. And that's my reason for living. If that is our reason for living, then we can walk in the light. And so we can choose with courage. God told Jesus, I think it was the captain of the Lord's host. No, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit mixed up. God told Joshua, get off your face after the defeat at Ai. He said, get off your face. It's time to do something. Why is it that when we feel like we have the answers, that's when it's time to get on our knees? And when we feel like we don't have the answers, that's time to get busy and do something. And instead of just standing there and saying nothing, we need to find our tongues and say something and do something. We need to choose with courage, not in the courage of our own strength, but in the courage of the Lord. And that brings us to faith. So I know all these points are really intertwined. Faith. The sun will shine again. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves. This time it seems like God just is not answering, and he probably won't answer this time. You ever felt that way? This time, it's just something different about it, and it seemed like God, I don't know where he is. He's off taking care of somebody else. He's doing something different. He forgot about me, and the sun is never going to shine again. That would be a ridiculous thing to think about at 4 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't it? And so we need to lay a hold of the promises of God again and again and again, and remind ourselves that, yes, he is with me in this moment too. And I just love those verses. One of them is in Psalm 30, verse 5, and the last part says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But you know, it's so much better to praise God in the middle of our tears and not wait till everything worked out right. And the whole theme of this is obedience, but I think it's important to bring this point in as a point. In Isaiah 50, verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Some other verses here in Isaiah where it talks about, my ear was closed. I didn't open my ear. Sometimes as fathers, we ask our children, did you hear me? We're not asking, did they really hear? Because we know they hear. We want to know, are they going to listen? And so God says, did you hear me? Did you open your ears? Are you going to listen? Why is it so hard to bend our will to the will of the Father? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. If we really want to walk in the light, trust and obey. And the last point I have here is thankfulness. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. I just can't see anything good about this experience. Well, You know, we don't have to see something good about it, but we can choose to be thankful. And in this difficult experience, and in this time of utter darkness, in this time of my confusion, in this time of I just don't have the answer, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know where I'm coming from, and it's so hopeless, it's so dark, I can be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you that this experience that we call life today is actually night. And the next step we take into eternity and into His presence will be from the evening to the morning, and it'll be complete day. And we can really be thankful, because this isn't the only life that we're ever going to know. Someday we're going to be in His presence forever and ever, and it's going to be such wonderful light. Let's be faithful to that day. Let's just keep on walking with Him in His light, not our own little torches. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that you have the answers for our needs every time. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you remind us again and again that you do love us, that you do have the answer, that you do shine your light on our pathway and show us the way to go. Father, we confess that many times, again and again, we find ourselves in confusing circumstances. We don't know the answer, how, where, why. We ask. Help us, Father, to refuse to pick up our own little torches and walk in our own confusion in our own way. But help us to walk in your light. Help us to learn what it means to pray and to trust and to obey in all these things that we were thinking about this morning. Just help us to understand that day by day. Pray that you would bless the young people, especially, Father. They look at life ahead of them. Help them to understand what it really means to walk with you. Help them to understand what it means to make, if they choose their own stubborn way, what utter darkness and total confusion it'll bring to their lives. Help each one of us, Father, to open up our hearts to you. Direct us and guide us. Help us to be a blessing to each other. Help us to tear down the walls and build bridges. Help us to be humble. Forgive us where we have failed. And thank you that you give us so many opportunities. Help us to walk in your love. Bless each one as we share together and as we walk together. Lead us into eternity, into your presence. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.